Ephesians chapter 5 today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read three verses, 25, 26, and 27 as our text verses for the morning message. Now, we've had the new thermostats here for about a month, maybe 3 weeks, and we're hopefully getting used to them. Right now, we feel like no news is good news. People haven't said, I'm too cold or too hot. If you're sitting in an area that's too cold or too hot, let Brother Joe know, okay, or bring it to my attention, and we can try to adjust that so it makes it comfortable for everybody here. But I think we have some thermostats that are doing a much better controlling the temperature and not having such a degree swing as we had before. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And if you'll join me on verse 26, we'll read 25, 26, and 27 as our text verses this morning. 25, 26, 27 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Thank you, dear Father, for your book. I pray that, God, you'll open our eyes to it this morning. May we behold wondrous things out of thy law. And, Lord, I know, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And, Lord, we know this work your Spirit wants to do in this room this morning. And I pray that we'll be ready for him to do it. And I know, Lord, those who are prepared and ready to receive your word, the Holy Spirit will speak to them. And I pray that others coming in different this morning will be captivated by the Holy Spirit's power, and that you'll fill us and use us and bless the text, the message from it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. well sung, and I like the message of that. Very good. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, an online church. I know all you folks that hate computers, now you already turned my message off this morning, all right? But don't turn me off yet, all right? It's not about computers. We're going to start out talking about that a little bit, but it's not going to end up there. So we're going to speak to you on the subject of an online church this morning. And let's pray together. My dear Father, I thank you for the strength that comes to press on by the example of Jesus Christ. And Lord, there are times in this life when that's what we do. We press on for Jesus' sake in His name. Lord, we're waiting for you to come and meet us, Lord, to take us home. And we want to meet you in the air. And Lord, that's what we'll preach about this morning a little bit. Ask and pray that you'll please have our minds and our hearts and our wills now in the palm of your Spirit's hand. May He speak to us in a very special way. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church websites are becoming popular with the availability of that type technology today. There are folks here visiting who learned about Faith Baptist Church, this church, from the Internet. And actually, they listened to several messages before coming to see firsthand the ministry and sitting in the pews and so forth and so on. And let me say to you folks who, along with Brother Payne, sit up there Sunday after Sunday and it takes extra time. They download the messages. The messages are recorded digitally on the computer and then they're downloaded on the website. And then downloaded on a CD. I'm not even sure how it all happens. I just know it happens, all right? And if I tried to explain it to you, some of you would laugh at me trying to explain it. So I'll spare you that humor this morning, all right? But I want to say to you folks who work up there, unseen by us here, but seen by the by who knows how many, I want to thank you for it. There's tons of people that listen. Missionaries overseas, our missionaries, Brother Oswardy listens all the time to the Internet, and other missionaries from our church and some not from our church listen to messages on the Internet. That's just the day and age in which we live. A lot of folks do things around here that go unseen. Take the radio program and the involvement in that radio program every Sunday. That never ceases to amaze me. We sat in the conference room Wednesday morning at the scheduled staff meeting, and I threw it out there on the table. Fellas, I'm thinking about canceling the radio broadcast. $85 a week. I don't know who's listening. I don't know how many people are getting saved. I don't know what's happening because of it. And it's expensive. What do you think? What have you heard? Brother Caleb, he visits it a lot. He said, run into folks that hear the radio broadcast from time to time. On Friday, I get this letter. Greetings, dear Pastor Angel. Greetings in the name of our Lord. Trust you are doing well, finding God's grace efficient for ministry. Wanted to share something with you that I trust will encourage your heart. Last year I visited a physically handicapped man who was concerned about his soul. His name was Sidney Beckman. God gave me the privilege to share the gospel with him, and he trusted Christ as Savior. We enjoyed visiting and talking about the Lord over the past year. Last Thursday morning, the Lord called him home to glory, and this past Monday I conducted his funeral. He shared several things with me before he went to be with the Lord. One was that he listened to your radio broadcast every Sunday morning, and was so thankful for the program. I hope that blesses you and encourages you to keep on keeping on with your radio ministry. And that was from Brother Scott Paisley, who's down at the Calvary Baptist Church in Kankakee. So I guess I don't need their opinion about the matter. Amen. I guess the Lord said, hey, you know what? I'll tell you when to get off the radio. So we'll keep it on the radio, bro. But people make that happen. And unseen people. Unseen people make the Internet happen. Unseen people make the radio happen, and I trust that your rewards will be great in glory for your faithful service. Like it or not, the Internet is here to stay. Now, it can be dangerous. It can be very dangerous. Whatever man touches, he corrupts. Okay? And so it's if you have the Internet, you'd be young. We'd be wise not to have it with young children. And if you let your children use it, they should never use it by themselves. It should always be monitored carefully. Amen. And even you men ought to have a little restriction built in on when you get on the Internet. That's the honest truth. You can't trust this stuff right here, okay? Like the old black preacher said, the flesh is the flesh. Amen. Talking about the flesh. And that's what it is. It's the flesh. And so be careful. But it can also be very helpful. Most pastors' conferences that you go to now as a pastor, most pastors' conferences in the afternoon will have classes
on media-type business for the church. And invariably, one of the classes will be on how to set up a web page, how to set it up, how to design it, how to get through it, and so forth and so on, how to make it work and functional for your church. That goes on now at every pastor's conference I can think of. To log on to our church has one, www.faithbaptist.info. And many of you use that, I guess. World Wide Web, www. Amazing technology in this day and age. Amazing. And yet Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about the last days, that men would be, and I quote, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that sad? They could sit down and think up something like the internet and put all that together and make it all happen, but have never come to the place where they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ever learning. People were telling me this week about putting a power in a battery now the size of a postage stamp that used to be huge. I mean, just, it's incredible. All that's going on in this day and age. Smart and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. Conservative media outlets tell us, I'm on the wrong thought here. There is a different online, though, www, I won't get into that other stuff. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a different online than the internet kind I've been talking about so far. It too involves www. And truthfully, I'm concerned, far more concerned about our church being online with what Paul talked about here in this chapter than online with the internet. Now, in this chapter, Paul is giving some instructions to husbands and wives on how to behave with each other. However, his main object is not the husband-wife relationship. You can learn about it from this. But his main object is lessons concerning our relationship as saved people to Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 32. He says, when he gets all through talking about husband and wife here, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the main interpretation of this passage. He goes on to say, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Paul was saying, my main objective in writing this verse and this whole passage is to teach you about your relationship to Jesus Christ. And folks, when he uses the word church here, he's talking about the assembly, the called out assembly. But let me tell you something. He's not talking about an assembly of pews. He's not talking about assembly of light fixtures. He's not talking about an assembly of microphone stands. He's talking about an assembly of people. He's talking about me and you. Us. He said, my main emphasis here is about the church's relationship to Jesus Christ. He commands the husband to love his wife. And he uses a tremendous example to make that challenge. Look at verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. How am I supposed to love my wife? Even as Christ also loved the church. You see that? By the way, folks, that's big shoes to fill, isn't it? As Christ loved the church. And I won't even go into all that this morning. I will say this, Christ proved that love by giving Himself. That's what it says. As Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Jesus didn't just give His time. Jesus didn't just give His money. Jesus didn't just give His concern. Jesus gave Himself. And by the way, that is the proof of love, isn't it? The proof of love is ever in its gift. I've said many times, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can't do it. He loved us so much, the Bible says, He gave Himself for us. The proof of love is ever in its gift. Giving includes money, but it's not isolated to money. It's giving yourself, and that's what Jesus Christ did. He gave Himself. Now, when we think of that, we automatically think of the truth that Jesus gave Himself to save lost sinners from hell. We automatically think of that. And that's taught in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God He did. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 6, Paul said about Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all. Giving Himself, giving Himself for the salvation of sinners, giving Himself a ransom for all who need to be saved. And friend, there is no doubt that Jesus gave Himself to save us. Thank God He did. We cannot save ourselves. We all need to be saved. We all can be saved by coming to Christ and trusting in Him as our personal Savior. This past Wednesday night, I called a young man, one of our senior boys in our academy. I called him into the office, and we sat down back there for a few minutes after church. And I said, "Now, I want to talk to you." I said, "You know, this past August, I was talking to Brother Don, and I told Brother Don, I said, I don't think, I called the young man's name, the man I was talking to. I said, I don't think he's doing well. He hasn't been faithful on the activities. He hasn't been involved in anything at the church. He looks distant in the services. His face is just empty. And I said, I'm concerned about him. And I was telling this young man what I'd said about him in August. I said, then your mother came to see me. And she's concerned about you. Worried sick about you. And I want to ask you, how are you doing? And I want you to be honest with me." And boy, the young man was honest. He said, "Brother Angel, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not doing well. And I didn't have a good summer." And then he started to choke up. He's a senior boy. He's a few days from being 18 years of age. Senior boy. He started to choke up and started to tear up a little bit. And he just said, "Brother Angel, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I've known it for a year and a half now, and I've fought it. I've been too embarrassed to talk to anybody about it." His voice was choked with emotion. He said, "I need to get saved. I need to get saved before I leave home and go home tonight." Well, you know what? That'll fix a lot of what's wrong with you right there. And so we got down on our knees there in the office. I said to him, I said, "Now look, did you come in here planning to make this big statement?" He said, "Oh, no, I didn't have any idea what you wanted to talk to me about." But he said, as soon as we sat down in the seat together, he said, "God spoke to my heart, and I knew that I had to deal with it tonight." And he got saved. Amen. He's going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. I want to tell you something. I said a couple Sunday nights ago, one of the most difficult things to do in all that you'll ever try to do, friend, is to live the Christian life without spiritual life. Now, you want to be miserable. You try to live the Christian life without any spiritual life, it's terrible. It's horrible. And that's what this young man's been going through. He said, I've got no salvation testimony. He said, "I just created one to save myself from embarrassment." Thank God. Thank God that got taken care of before it was too late. Now, that's what Jesus came for. That's what He gave Himself for, right? He gave Himself so that we could be saved. So that we could be saved from eternity apart from God. So that we could be saved from eternity burning in hell. So that we could be saved from eternity without Jesus and the saints and beautiful music and all that heaven has to offer. That's what He gave Himself for, so that we might be saved. But friend, in this text, Paul expands on the reason that Jesus gave Himself. He did not give Himself just for saving lost sinners. Look at verse number 26. Look at what our book says. He ends verse 25 by saying He gave Himself for the church. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Do you see that? Cleanse, sanctify, and cleanse it. He gave Himself to make the church holy, to make the church clean. Why did He do? Why? Why does He want the church holy? Why does He want it clean? Well, look at verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, one of these days, all of us who are saved, baptized believers, are going to be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. And at that time, we're going to be presented to Him as His bride. And you know what? Jesus, one of the things Jesus gave, sure, He gave Himself so that we could be saved. But He gave Himself for far more than just saving lost sinners. He gave Himself so that the church, saved, born-again, baptized believers, could be sanctified, could be made holy, without spot and without blemish, clean, so that when we go to meet Him in the air, we'll be a glorious church. That's what He gave Himself for. He didn't give Himself just so that we could be saved from hell. That's part of it, sure. But He gave Himself so that after we got saved, we might become holy and clean, ready to meet Him in the air someday. And the truth is, friend, there are more references in the New Testament about Jesus giving Himself to make us holy and clean then there are references about Jesus giving Himself to save us. How about that? Let me show you some of them. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Turn back a few pages. Look at Galatians chapter 1 in your Bible. Just a few pages back to your left. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 3 here. Actually, let's go to verse number 2. And just read two or three verses. It won't take but a second to do it. Galatians chapter 1. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you. This is several churches. It's not just one church. It's several churches. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's both of them. He gave Himself so that we might be saved from our sins and from this present evil world. He gave Himself so that after we got saved, we might become holy and clean and righteous before Him. That's why He gave Himself. Look at chapter 2, verse number 20. Look at the Scripture now, chapter 2 and verse number 20. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, 20. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus gave Himself for you. Jesus gave Himself for me so that we might learn to live the crucified life, death to self and alive unto God, dead to sin and alive unto good works, dead to sinful habits, alive to holiness, dead to evil thoughts, and alive to sanctification. That's why Jesus gave Himself. According to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look at the book of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, now go to your right several passages. Several books to your right. Past 1st and 2nd Timothy to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. Talking about Jesus again. Actually, we can begin in verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now watch it. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is why Jesus gave Himself. Not so that He would just save us from hell. Not so that we could just have a fire escape from burning in the fires of hell forever. But so that we might become sanctified and holy and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Here's four passages. Ephesians 5, Galatians 1, Galatians 2, and Titus 2. Four passages in the New Testament that tell us Jesus gave Himself not only to save us. Save us poor, lost, hopeless, undone, hell-bound sinners. To save us from a burning hell, yes. But then He gave Himself, He shed His blood so that after salvation we might clean up our lives, our behavior, our motives, our thought, the inside and the outside might become clean and holy for Him. And He's interested in both. You got people on both sides of the spectrum. You got some people who just chirp and chirp and chirp and chirp and chirp about how that God looks on the heart, and all you really need to be worried about is cleaning up on the inside. God's not really that interested about the external man. And then you got people who are all concerned about the external man and let the internal man go with ugliness and bitterness and jealousy and envy and all kinds of sorry inner sins. The truth of the matter is God's interested in both being clean. God's interested in external. God's interested in internal. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for a moment here. Let me take you over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at the passage here. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number... we don't have time to read in chapter number 6. But let me show you verse number 7, chapter 7, verse number 1. Paul wrote this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, watch this now, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Watch the next word. Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. That word perfecting means completing. You're not complete until you've cleaned up both the inner man and the out man. The inside man and the outside man. That's how you complete holiness. Look at Psalm 24. These scriptures are just coming to my mind right now, but since the Lord's bringing them, let me give them to you. I don't have written on paper. But look at Psalm 24. Let me show you that God's interested in us being clean. Psalm 24. And verse number 3. Psalm 24, verse number 3. Notice what the psalmist wrote here. Chapter number 24, verses 3. This is the Psalm of David. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath what? Clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Where's your heart, friend? It's inside, isn't it? Where's your hands? Outside. What's God interested in? He's interested in the whole person. He's interested in us. He's interested in all of me. He's interested in all of you. He wants my external man to be clean. He wants it to be a testimony. He wants it to be pure, spotless, blameless. He wants the same thing for my internal man. God is interested in the whole me. God is interested in the whole you, being holy and clean and sanctified. That's exactly what He's interested in. He's interested in flesh and spirit. He's interested in a pure heart and clean hands. He wants the whole of us. And He gave Himself. Jesus gave Himself to make us that way. To make us clean. Now back to Ephesians chapter 5. And no more scriptures are coming to mind right now, although there's one on the tip of my brain, and it may pop in just a minute. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. There's another one that does the same thing. Shows the inside and the outside, but I can't think of what it is right now. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, how does this happen? We know how we get saved. You get saved by admitting that you're a sinner, you're hell-bound, helpless, hopeless. You get saved by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's what He gave Himself for. He gave Himself so that we might be saved. And that's how you get saved. But now what about the sanctification part? How does this happen? How does the cleansing, how does the sanctification, how does the holiness, how is that developed? Because look at me. I don't care how bad you were, or how good you were when you got saved. We were all lost and undone. And when we got saved, nothing changed about the old nature. The old nature is still as wicked as it ever has been. So how do you get cleaned up? Well, look at chapter 5, verse number 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. There's your WWW. Washing of water by the Word. This WWW doesn't stand for World Wide Web. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm far more concerned about our church being online with this WWW than being on the internet. I'm all for that. That's fine. But this is a far more WWW. This is an online church. An online church is one that is being washed of water by the Word. This is for me. This is for my family. This is for our church. This is for you. This is for your family. This is for our church. In God's eyes, an online church isn't one that has an impressive web page. An online church is one that is being washed of water by the Word. Ongoing, making it clean, making it holy, making it sanctified, making it ready to meet Jesus in the air. Washing of water by the Word. WWW. I pray to God we have an online church. I'm not near as concerned about the size of our church as I am the sort of our church. I hope it's WWW. Washed of water by the Word. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you preach on sin, and when you nail it, and when you call it out, and when you identify it, you're not going to attract crowds of people. Folks don't like that. They don't want that. But it takes that kind of preaching, and it takes that kind of emphasis on Scripture to help a church be washed like it's supposed to be and be clean, to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. He could come before we come back tonight at 6:30. We could meet Him in the air this afternoon. And I'll promise you something. He'll be concerned how many souls were saved this week through the ministry of this church, but He's also going to be concerned about how clean we've been living. How clean are you living? WWW, an online church. Let's break it down. Washing of water by the Word. Look at that word washing. washing. Washing was very important to the Jews in their practices. They had specific rules and commandments for washing concerning several different occasions. They had washing when they eat, washing after they eat, and washing for this and washing for that. In Ephesians chapter 5 is written from the perspective of bride and groom, husband and wife. Do you remember when Esther, remember when Vashti would not come before the king over there in the book of Esther? And remember when the king said, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And they called virgins all throughout the land to come and see who would be the next queen. I was going to turn there, but for sake of time, I won't. Esther chapter 2 and verse number 12 tells us, Esther and the rest of these fair young virgin girls, these maidens, fair young maidens, they all got together, listen to this, for a whole year. For a whole year. They did nothing but purify themselves for a whole year, 12 months. 6 months they purified themselves with oil of myrrh. And then 6 months they purified themselves with sweet odors, the Bible says, and other things. 12 months. So at the end of that 12 months, they smelt like a walking bed, body, and bath store. That's right. You ever been in there? Fellas, hopefully not to buy anything for yourself. Amen. But it's a nice place to go to buy something for your wife. They make all this sweet, good smelling stuff now. Bed, Bath and Beyond. They got Bed, Body. I don't know what it's called. I don't know. But you know what it's called. And you know you can smell them. These girls, they did nothing for 12 months. Listen. But wash their bodies in special oils and incense. And don't miss it. To go in and stand before the king. 12 months they washed themselves. And the Lord spoke to my heart, oh, Terry Angel, are you ready to stand before the king? He may come before the service tonight. Am I ready? Well, sure, I'm saved, man. Got saved 32 years ago in 1975. Okay, I'm not talking about the day you got saved, although if you've not been saved, you better get saved because He could come for them. But since salvation, He didn't just give Himself to save you from hell. He gave Himself for you, Terry Angel, so that after salvation, you can be washed and made clean to stand before Him someday. A Christian with a sweet testimony. Washing. Are you listening this morning? For a whole year. You know, the body produces odors a lot of times that are unpleasant just based on our diet, specific meats and everything, we sweat, and that kind of stuff comes out in your through the pores of your body. And for a whole year, these girls had a restricted diet. For a whole year, they washed every portion of their body. The wrinkles, I don't suppose they had many wrinkles because they were young. That comes with age, doesn't it? Discouraging to get real close to the mirror nowadays. Real close to the mirror this week, and I just went, oh my goodness. Huh? Brother. They got in every little crevice of skin, and for 12 months, they washed to stand before the king. Are you ready? Are you ready? And the truth of the matter is, that's part of my responsibility as the under-shepherd of a New Testament assembly. It's to preach the Word of God, not to just save sinners from hell, but to help prepare the church. Paul said, I think about you with godly jealousy when I think about presenting you to Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin. You know, friend, you're concerned, Brother Terry, about the size of the church, not near as much as you might think. I'm far more concerned about let's get people saved through the radio program, through the bus ministry, through door-to-door, through tract distribution, through personal witnessing, yes. But then after we get people saved, let us save people, wash and make clean and be ready to stand before the King. I'm concerned about that. I said, I'm concerned about that. Especially with all the stuff on TV today and radio and internet, all the junk that's in the world. Washing. Washing. Number two, he said water. There is no element more effective for cleansing purposes than water. Good, clean, pure water has great cleansing power. I know there are some good substitutes today. Germex, that's good. Good to keep in your car, good to keep handy with you, but you don't take a bath in it. Some folks might and take a bath. They make those handy wipes. Not handy. That's a handy wipe is a rag, isn't it? Body wipes. Yeah, there we go. All kind of names out there. Little squares of paper, you know, and you can clean up if you don't. That church, the church sent me on an elk hunt back in 1995, and I bunked right next to Dr. Dennis Coral there, and Brother Coral would take a baby wipe bath. He had baby wipes. He smelled like the bottom end of a baby all week long. He had those little white squares. He took a bath every night with those, and that took a lot of those squares to bathe Brother Coral. I'm gonna tell you that much. He got a fresh container out every time. That's a lot of flesh to clean up with a little square piece of paper. Amen. Huh? Oh man. But I use them once in a while to clean your hands up or something. But there's nothing like water. There's nothing like water. Water gets you clean. Yeah. Amen. He said, washing of water. And then he said, by the Word. There's your WWW right there. Washing of water by the Word. The Word of God. The Word of God is the good, clean, pure water that washes the dirt away. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God is the soap and water that washes us clean. Our clothes get dirty. We take the clothes off. We throw them in the washing machine. And you know what the washing machine does. You pour the detergent in there. The detergent doesn't wash the dirt away. The detergent loosens the dirt. And the... Oh, that water. Once the dirt is loosened by the detergent. And then it empties. Huh? Fills up again. Rinses those clothes. And by that time, all that dirt that was on those clothes is washed away. The Bible is our soap. The Bible is our water that loosens the sin that is smeared on our hearts and smeared on our lives and smeared in our minds and smeared in our thoughts and smeared sometimes in our motives. The Word of God is the soap and the water that cleanses us. Washes us. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you online? Are you online? I don't mean, yeah, I got the internet at the house. Preacher, I'll get on the... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about washing of water by the Word. Are you online? Is your family online? I have to ask myself, is this church online? It has nothing to do with the internet. It has everything to do with Jesus died and he shed His blood and gave Himself for us. Yes, to save us from hell, but also to purify unto Himself a clean church. I'm sorry, but it does matter what you listen to. It does matter what you wear. It does matter where you go. It does matter how you talk. It also matters if you're full of ugliness and bitterness and meanness. It does matter if you can't control your temper, if you can't control worldly appetites. It matters, friend. That's one of the reasons Jesus died, not to just provide us a fire escape from hell, but to make us clean. Clean. An online church is not a worldly church. I said an online church is not a worldly church. Nope. Jesus didn't save us to take us out of the world. He saved us and left us here to be different. To be salt and light. To be a testimony. An online church is not a worldly church. An online church is not being affected by the world more than it's making an impact on the world. An online church is not a wimpy church. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." An online church is bold about its Christianity, not ashamed of Jesus or the Word of God, or the word Baptist, as the case may be. An online church is not a worldly church, not a wimpy church. An online church is not a weak church. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said that because of sin in the church, many among you are sick. Sick. So does that mean every time somebody gets sick, it's because of sin? No, it doesn't mean every time. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God does use that to get our attention. And he did at the church in Corinth. Sick. An online church is not a worldly church, not a wimpy church or a weak church. An online church is a wonderful church, not based on its size, based on its sort. A wonderful church. Washed of water by the Word. I ask you again, are you online? Are you online, single young lady? Not doing well? Asked by her dad, concerned father, some time ago. Are you reading your Bible? You know what the answer is, don't you? Are you in your Bible? Are you in the Word of God? Busy men. With schedules hammered full of appointments and things to do and places to go and people to see. Are you in your Bible? Are you in your Bible? By the grace of God, we'll continue to bring this book to this pulpit, this spot, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and preach from it. Because it's the washing of water by the Word that makes us clean. Are you online at home? Is there Bible in your home? Is there Bible through music? Is there Bible through this? Is there Bible in your home? Are you online? Are you? I might have mentioned 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember what service I mentioned. I'm sure I mentioned it, but I don't know if it was at Providence or here or another church. Maybe I preached somewhere. It might have been here. We had Dr. Darrell Champlin and his wife here at the church, and on Sunday for lunch, we had them to the house. And boy, we got to just talking with them and visiting about their experiences, 57 years in the ministry as missionaries. And back in the 1950s, or before that, I think, Mrs. Champlin's parents went to the Congo. They were the Gringses. Her maiden name was Grings, G-R-I-N-G-E-S, Grings. And I forget how many years they labored with no converts. Was it 3, 5? Maybe it was 3. They went 3 years with no converts, preaching and sowing the seed of the gospel, and those superstitious, spirit-worshipping natives, none of them got saved for 3 years. Can you imagine that? And then her mother died. And they all showed up for the burial. And they didn't burn the body. They embalmed it. And they buried it. And those natives watched that Christian funeral. And when the funeral was over, five influential village African men got saved. They said, if that's how you people act and respond to death, there must be something to your message. Isn't it something that it took death to bring life? Five of them got saved. And I forget what he said now. I wish I could remember. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks later. Brother missionary, we need some work. Why do you need work? We need to make some money. Why do you need money? We need soap. They hadn't done any preaching and teaching on taking a bath. They hadn't done any teaching and preaching on being clean. But the Spirit of God working in those men's hearts. We need soap so they could wash their bodies. You hear me very carefully. God is as much concerned about those ignorant village men in darkest, deepest Africa as He is any white person here in America. They haven't been taught, evidently at that time, had not been taught some things that people in other places of the world have been taught about physical hygiene, bodily cleanliness. But when they got saved, they wanted a bar of soap. And I'm going to tell you something. Every born-again child of God who's online is anxious to get their hands on some soap. I'm not talking about the internet. I'm talking about being washed of water by the Word. This is the soap and water. It's the only thing that will make you clean. Are you online? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I went a little bit longer than I intended to go, about 6 minutes, I'm sorry. While you're listening that carefully, let me ask a few questions. Who is here, Brother Angel? I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Can you give that testimony? Would you please raise your hand if that's your testimony this morning? I'm saved and I know it. Please be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one here this morning? Brother Angel, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand just now. I have no idea if I'm saved or not. I have no idea where I'm going to spend eternity. I have no idea where I'm going to go when I die. But I am concerned about it. I heard you talk about how Jesus gave Himself so that we could be saved from hell. And that interests me. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Before you respond or don't respond. That young man came to me on Wednesday night. We talked. Had been fighting this thing for a year or a year and a half. Please, friend, don't fight salvation. If Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, He wants entrance. He wants access. But the handle's on the inside. Are you going to open it to Him? Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Just put it up in the air and right back down. Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Slip it up. I'll look for a minute, side to side, front to back. God bless you, I see. Somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. In just a minute, we're going to give the invitation. Folks will come wanting to get baptized, and maybe folks will come to pray. If you're not sure that you're saved, I'm going to pray for you. And I hope that you'll step out of your seat. Come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We're going to have people ready. In fact, let me ask a couple men and a couple ladies who are ready to show somebody how to be saved to come get in place this morning while nobody's looking. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Greatest thing you'll ever do is when the Spirit of God is knocking on the door of your heart, respond. Do what I did 32 years ago, walk an aisle this morning and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved, please. Who's been saved and not baptized in deep water since you've been saved? Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. Pray for me. If you came prepared to be baptized this morning, you come right now while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll help you get ready. That's right. Anybody else? Young people, God bless you. Teenagers waiting on permission. All right, Christian, are you online? Are you online? Washing of water by the Word. Washing of water by the Word. We'll never be clean like Jesus wants us to be clean without the soap and water of God's good book. You say, Brother Angel, every time I read it, I have a hard time understanding it. You just keep reading it. There's something clean, cleansing about it. Are you online? Pastor, pray for me. My relationship with the Word of God is not what it should be. I'll admit it. I'm not online near as I ought to be in this matter. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. There's lots of hands going up. God bless you. You. You may take it down. Somebody else. Hardly ever a tragedy in Christian character occurs without there being a time spent away from God's book. I can't emphasize it too much. Somebody else, Brother Angel, pray for me. I don't want to be a casualty. I'm not online in this thing near as much as I should be. I should be prayed for this morning. Somebody else, side to side, front to back? Anybody else in this prayer? Dear God, You see the hands, You see the heart. Lord, You want us to be clean inside and outside. You gave us the greatest detergent in the world to help cleanse us and wash us. I pray that God will be online with You and Your Word. I pray, dear God, that You'll bless these that need to be saved. Lord, I can't do the saving, but I can sure plead with them and encourage them to turn their heart to Christ. So please, Lord, touch hearts this morning. Thank You for these who've come to be baptized and others who need to come. I pray that You'll move in the invitation. In Jesus' name I ask it. And we're going to pray in just a minute. Excuse me, the ladies are going to play in just a minute. I've already prayed. If you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to do the most important thing in your life you'll ever do. Step out and come to the front. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We have ladies to show ladies, men to show men. Or if you need to be baptized. Or if you're a child of God and you haven't been online like you should be and God spoke to you, now's the time to come. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing us a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Just make your way out. Come to the front. Join the others that are coming. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. How about a Christian? Life is busy. Life is busy. Life is busy. Life is full. It takes determination. It takes schedule. It takes time. Are you online with the Word of God? Washing of water by the Word. Would you come?